Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Nerds.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Got to run to keep rolling. And I'm bound to keep on riding. I got one more silver dollar. But I'm not going to let them get to me, no. Not going to let them catch the midnight ride.
But it's not midnight!
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.
Yes, sir! Yes, sir! 102 on The Fan. McMonagle here with you. Yeah, I know it's not midnight, but it's still a 5-hour ride as we got you until 6 o'clock. So those of you who are sleeping right now, but you're normally up in the 5 o'clock hour, you'll get a chance to hear me. Why I'm telling you that now while you sleep, I don't know. I just felt like saying it. How's everybody else doing? On this Friday morning, we made it. Memorial Day, the official kickoff of the summer, right after me. It doesn't feel like summer, but maybe it will later today. Maybe it will tonight as we get ready for game number 2 of the New York Knicks in their first Eastern Conference in 25 years, quarter century. Game number 2 tonight against the Pacers. And yeah, you know, I don't know if you caught the show yesterday. I was mad. I was angry. It was raw. It's tough coming in after these games like that. There's been a lot of jubilation with the Knicks, even with some, you know, blowout losses. That was different. And that's kind of where I want to start with how different yesterday was, or should I say the other night now, and how I feel about this team responding, because I've talked about how I trust this team. I think they've earned our trust. I really do. I think they've earned our trust. And I remember in the Celtics series, so many people talking about how important game number 3 was. That you can't let them off the deck. You got to come right out. You stole 2 in Boston. You came from behind twice down 20. You got to come out with an effort. Don't let them off the deck. If you let them back into the series, blah, blah. And I was like, no. No. I want to win the game, of course. But they don't have to. The Celtics have to win that game. The Knicks don't have to. And I trust this team, even if it's a bad effort. And obviously, I was rewarded with a game 4 second half. And even after getting blown out in game 5, I trusted the Knicks to show up in game number 6. And they did. And our trust was rewarded. And I still trust this team. And I expect this team to come back after everything we went through all of yesterday. And you went through here on the station all of yesterday. We know all the ins and outs. We know all the different things, from the calls that went against them to the Naismith incredible 3-point shooting contest that he put on in the fourth quarter and the last 2.5 minutes, to the foul, to the overtime, the defensive effort, shooting the ball too quickly and not running the clock out, all the things we've talked about. And after a day, you flush it and you get ready for a game number 2. And after having said I trust them, and I do, I have to admit, this feels different to me. It does. It feels different to me because I trust them. They also haven't had this. They've never been down in a series yet, right? They have yet to be losing in the series. This is the first time. And when I say I trust them off poor efforts, I trust them off of losing a game. Not losing a game in the manner in which they lost game number one. It is different because every time I said I trusted them, it was coming off a lousy effort. It was coming off a lousy effort in game five against the Pistons. It was coming off a lousy effort in game number three against the Celtics and game number five against the Celtics. I know they weren't blown out necessarily in game five, but surely 3-5 against the Pistons, but 3-5 against the Celtics, they were just blown out from the jump. It was never a game. The Celtics overran them. The Knicks didn't come out with that fire, that intensity, that, you know, kill effort. That ability to come out and want to end your opponent when you have the opportunity. And they weren't able to do it, but I still trusted that next effort to be great. Here's my issue, a little bit, because I do trust them. And I trust that that won't happen again, as everyone's saying. Of course, I think they're going to be far better at the end of this game if given the same opportunity. They're not going to make the same mistakes they made. I think Tibbs is an excellent head coach, even if we have qualms with some of the ways he handles the games and some of his, you know, how much he plays the bench, how many minutes he plays them, his inability to make offensive adjustments. Fine, there's issues with Tibbs. He's not the perfect head coach, but I trust him to learn and not make the same mistakes twice in a series. Sure, of course, if they're in the same position, a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter or a 9-point lead with 2.5 minutes left, I don't expect them to blow the game, of course. But here's the one thing I am concerned with is I hear everybody say, well, they'll bounce back. I expect them to come back. I expect this. I expect that. Hey, did you think it would be easy? But like, this is different a little bit because the effort was there in game number one. The team did come out with an energy and matched a Pacers team that came out with it themselves. They hit every stinking shot to start the game. They finished hitting every single shot, and they started hitting every single shot. But the Knicks came out with that effort you were looking for, that mentality, that game number one, understanding how important it was. This team has been a team that's come off bad efforts with good efforts. It's been hard for them to put consistent good efforts together, and what scares me is game one was a good effort. Game one, they had the better of the play. Game one, they were the better team for 46 minutes. Game one, they came out and let the Pacers play the run game. They let them run up and down the court. They handled the transition offense. That game went exactly, I've been quoting Charles Barkley a lot in that halftime because he's talking about, well, even though they're losing, even though they're down, you know, this game is played right now the way the Pacers want to play. And I was like, exactly. That's a positive for me. They're playing it exactly the way the Pacers would like to play it, and they're doing it better than the Pacers. I was ready to call that a not just a good game one, a great game one. I was ready to call that a monumental effort and taking the Pistons game and throwing it the Pacers game and throwing it right in their face. So I've seen this team give a lackluster performance and come back. I've seen this team give a lackluster offensive performance and just performance overall in a first half and change it mid-game. Off of the way that game ended and the nature in which that game ended and the mistakes that were made and knowing they blew an opportunity despite having the effort we all wanted them to have, this is a different sort of get off the deck. It is. It's not, hey, we had a 2-game lead. We can't seem to handle prosperity. We had a bad effort after having a really, you know, good effort, but we just from the jump, we didn't have that killer instinct. We didn't have that mentality. We didn't have the desperation. We couldn't match the Celtics' desperation when they were down 2-0. We were up 2-0. And even whether it was subconsciously, the quote from Jalen Brunson, even if it was subconsciously, we just couldn't match that effort. Then they come out in game four, and then they go into Boston looking to close it out without Tatum, and they didn't match the effort of the Boston Celtics. They didn't. But they were always able to bounce back off of that bad effort and come out and give a great effort and find a way to win and find a way to have that desperate mentality. So in, like, it's kind of, we're going to find out about this team in some ways. Because, yeah, they've proven they can come out off of a poor effort. They've also proven they can come out when they're the more desperate team and play like it. And clearly, tonight, they're the more desperate team. But they've also had trouble putting two good efforts back together. Other than the second halves, really, of the Boston first two games of that series, where they both, in both games, came from behind 20 points. They haven't really put those two consecutive games. And what scares me is they had the effort in game one. They were the better team. And what scares you is how many times, it's not going to be easy. I heard Gio all morning long. Hey, what'd you think? This was going to be easy? No, I didn't think it was going to be easy. I didn't expect the Knicks to come out and have the better of the play in every game in the series. They came out and had the better of the play in game number one and lost it. They came out and had that killer instinct and ready to take the Pacers down and shove their own game back in their face and put together a great offensive performance. And we saw Karl-Anthony Towns. We saw the way they played in the first 46 minutes of the game, and it was good enough to not only win, but to have a 17-point lead. And they built that lead with Brunson on the bench. There's a lot of positives about that game, and what scares me is how many games do you expect to have it go that way? I know everything that could have went wrong in the last 2.5 minutes did. Everything that could have went the Pacers' way the last 2.5 minutes did. Whether it was calls, whether it was incredible shots, whether it was missed free throws, like it all went their way. The Knicks made the mistakes. Every call, the foul that now I got to admit, as I watch it over and I see him, grab OG Anunoby by the shirt, I'm still annoyed that that call got overturned on the floor. I'm still annoyed that they didn't get a goaltending call in overtime and it leads to a three-pointer and really a change in momentum in that overtime. Sure. And they made plenty of mistakes. Everything went against them, and everything went for the Pacers, including one of the more remarkable clanks up in the air to fall only right down through the basket. But how many games did we expect when we say this wasn't going to be easy? Did you expect it to be easy? There was going to be some hardship, which was I was saying in the Celtics series after Game 3. But to me, it feels different because Game 3, they just got blown out. The effort wasn't there. The Celtics overran them. It was one of those games where the Celtics were going to be the better team. The other night, game one, the Knicks were the better team. The Knicks came out with that effort. It's very difficult when you're the much better team and blow it because we can call it a trend, right? And we have. Hey, the Celtics blew it twice. Cleveland blew a game just like Indiana's done it to Cleveland. Indiana's done it to Milwaukee. The Knicks did it to the Celtics. It's kind of a trend here in the postseason. You know what else is a trend? Those teams losing the series. The Milwaukee Bucks unable to come back. The Cleveland Cavaliers losing in five. The Celtics unable to recover from the first two games they blew. I trust them. I expect them to have a big effort tonight. I know that their lives are on the line, and every time that's been the case, they have shown up. But don't dismiss what game one was. It was a disaster of epic proportions in a game where they had the better of the play for 46 minutes. How many times do we expect in a 7-game series against this very tough Indiana Pacers team to have the better of the play for the first 46 minutes? We're going to find out a lot about this team. We're going to find out how they can come back from being called the choke artist. They've been the ones who have made the other teams choke. They made the Celtics choke. Now they're the choke artists. Now they're the ones who did everything wrong. Now they're the ones that have to rethink every decision they made at the end of the game. They're also the ones who have to understand that, hey, we got to do everything we did again for 46 minutes just to get back to the same place we were at the end of game one with an opportunity to get our first win in the series. It's hard to overcome. I trust them. They're mentally tough. I expect everything I just said. But I have to admit, there's a little part of me that's more nervous than I was in the other times. They've yet to be down in a series. And coming back from that game, we just casually say it. Every time they've put together a bad effort, they come back with a great effort. That is true. Game one wasn't a bad effort. Game one wasn't, hey, they were just better than us tonight. Hey, we didn't have that killer instinct. Hey, the Celtics needed it more than we did, and we couldn't match it. That's not what game one was. Game one was, we were better than them. Game one was, we played with an urgency. Game one was, they couldn't match our level for 46 minutes. And then we collapsed. I trust the team. But this is different than anything else they've had to recover from. This is different than losing game three. This is different than losing game five. Even if the opponent's different, even if the Celtics were defending champs, even if no one expected them to win that series and everyone expected them to win this one, that's another different pressure than we've seen. This is a different animal than everything else they've encountered coming back from that game one. And if they take game two, we forget about it. We flush it all. It's a tied series. Go take one out of two in Indiana. Come back for a game five with the series in your hands, in your building. And no one's going to, and they go on and win this series, no one's going to care about game one. And we're all going to talk about how they overcame it. And great, I hope that's the case. And I still believe it will be. But I can't just dismiss it. I can't just say, hey, they bounce back every time. I expect them to do it again. This is different. This is different. It's easier to just come off, hey, we played terribly. We got our doors blown off. We'll be better next time. This was, we did everything right for 46 minutes, everything wrong for two, and we lost. How many times does that happen? I don't expect it to happen again. That can't happen again. He's not going to hit all those threes again. This can't happen again. This can't happen again. We all just assume they're going to be the better team for 46 minutes again. It's not as easy as that. This is a huge game number two, and we're going to find out how tough this Knick team is. 888-808-1019. Let's take a call in the open here and go to Jeff in Florida. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. Good. So, yeah, I just real quick on the whole choke narrative. Yeah, they missed two free throws. They had a few bad possessions. It wasn't a choke. It was historic shooting. I did the numbers. If you count the opening 9 for 9, they had Pacers had to go 16 for 16, including 8 threes, and the luckiest shot of all time to force overtime. So
the Knicks also missed foul shots. The Knicks also had terrible possessions. The Knicks also couldn't hold on to the ball. The Knicks also had Jalen Brunson had 7 turnovers in the game. Like, you can't. I'm sorry. I understand your point. I do. And I take it to heart, and I said the same thing last night. Too many people were going to overreact and say this was a complete choke job and not give enough credit to the Indiana Pacers. I totally agree. What they were able to accomplish at the end of that game, and what Nesmith in particular was able to accomplish, and then that shot, which I agree with you, is as crazy as I've ever seen. It took a million things to go against them. But it's unfair to just, I mean, the Knicks played their role in it. It's impossible to lose it's impossible to lose that game if you don't play your role in it. And the Knicks played a role in it.
They did. And so did, you know, like
of course, so did the Pacers. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I would be hypocritical. I would be hypocritical. Yeah. Knicks fans would be hypocritical because whenever the Celtics said, oh, we choked it, you know, no, I'd be like, no, the Knicks came out and won that game. So I agree with you. The Pacers came out and won the game, but there's always a role. And all they had to do was hit one more foul shot. You know, all they had to do was, you know, not put up a shot, not have a turnover with 5 seconds off the shot clock when you're trying to run the game out. Like, there was a bunch of mistakes inside there, too.
Oh, yeah, and the thing is, if they make one more foul shot, you know, there's a good chance that they hit a three before they could foul. You know, who knows? The point is, whatever. And that the overturn call was absurd on so many levels just because it took 10 minutes.
I agree.
If they would have ruled it in 30 seconds or a minute, I would be upset. But, you know, okay, it took 10 minutes. I mean, they said on the broadcast, if 100%. You can't figure it out in a minute or two, you got to leave the call.
100%. But, and that's not just quick. And I'll let you finish. That's not just the problem with that particular play. That is a problem with review in general. I know it's a big game and you want to get it right. I don't care. The review is there to turn over the egregious call. If you have to look at it for 8 minutes, it's not egregious. Leave it as called on the floor. I completely agree with you.
That's the same in any sport.
Absolutely. And baseball is the worst to me because I think it also, like if a guy comes off the, if a guy slides into second safe and then his cleat comes off the base by a quarter of a centimeter while the glove's still on him, they'll call him out. And I'm like, that's not the purpose of the rule. I get that he's out. I do. But like, that's not what it's there for, man. It's there to make sure the guy doesn't, who at first gets beat by a step or beats the throw by a step, doesn't lose the out. It's not to like get a guy who comes off the bag on a slide by a half a centimeter that we have to look at for 3 minutes just to see if it's actually off the bag. I hate it.
Exactly. It's like, even as a Mets fan, it's like, you know, not to have the asterisk with the Johan Santana no-hitter, you know.
Right.
With the dump. But yes, but anyway, real quick on today. Yeah, it's just, you know, the way you look at it, you flush it, it's tough to recover. I think Mad Dog said on his show, it's tough because now they basically got to win this 5 out of 7 games. But,
yeah,
you know, you win today, and then it's a new, you know, you start over. But if they lose today, then it's obviously good night because, you know, maybe they'll avoid a sweep, but they're not going anywhere if they lose today. That's all. And, you know, even if they're down 3-1, I don't like their chances that they're down 3-1. But if, you know, you win game 5 in that scenario, then you put the pressure on Indiana. The point is you got to win today to even have a chance maybe to beat down 3-1 at that worst case. So that's all. And, you know, like you said, so many times within games and after games, people thought they might be done in the Detroit series, in the Boston series. I mean, friend, it was an ongoing joke. My friend had texted me about 8 times saying it's over, they're done.
I'm with you, Jeff. Every time. That's why I'm not. I'm not dismissing it. I'm just saying there's 2 ways to look at this. And I'm not so. As much as I trust them, it is a different thing they're bouncing back from. Like, because I just felt like we've heard a lot of, hey, every time they bounce back. I was just talking to Pat Boyle. Does a great job just starting as the overnight guy out on the network. Does an incredible job. Pat's a great kid and a good host. I was just talking, and a big Knick fan. And we were just talking, and he said the same thing. He's like, listen, man, I'm confident they bounce back every time. And I feel the same way. But, like, the more I hear it, I'm just trying to say, like, let's just be fair for a second and recognize that this is slightly different. This is different. They have yet to be in this position. And as you said, I didn't hear Dog say it, but yeah, that's a pretty good way to say it. Now they have to win 5 of the 7 games in this series. They won that game. They won that game. How many games do you expect to win against the Indiana Pacers in a 7-game series? Because now you have to win 5. That's a very eloquent way of putting it. And that's how I'm feeling. Like they've taken leads and then had poor efforts and bounced back. This isn't bouncing back off a poor effort. They had a great effort. They had an effort that gave them a 17-point lead with 4 minutes left. They had an effort that had a 14-point lead with 2.5 minutes left. That's an incredible effort. That game's got to be a win. This is different. Now they've got to be the better team in the series 5 out of 7 games. Capable of it? Absolutely. They're the better team in my mind. They're absolutely capable. They're capable of running off the next 4. And having that being the only game they lose, they're more than capable of that. But we just, I was right there, game 3 against the Celtics. They don't have to win, I trust them. Game 5, they don't have to win, I trust them. They didn't have to come out and win game 1. I would have trusted them. If they came out and got their butts kicked, or they came out and the Pacers were the better team and they lost by 6 or 7 or 10 or whatever, and it was just, hey, that was the Pacers' night, I would trust them for a big effort tonight. That's not what happened. They were the better team. And I'm just a little concerned, like, how many nights are you going to be the better team? Now they got to be the better team 5 out of 7. It's not that easy, and it is different. 888-808-1019. We'll come back with more of your calls. We didn't get a lot. Yesterday was completely, completely Knicks. We're going to definitely start here with Knicks. And take your phone calls at 888-808-1019. Maybe get into a little baseball as the Yankees sweep the Texas Rangers. They're as hot as any team in baseball. And that pitching, ooh, that pitching. And if I mention Carlos Rodon, I'll have to go back. I don't often do this, but maybe I'll pull a thing from the afternoon show and go back with Posted and Ghosted and take one of my old tweets at the beginning of the year about Carlos Rodon when everyone still hated him. And then, of course, I don't think, what has it been? 24 minutes. We came on a little bit after 1, so it's about 21 minutes now. I've yet to say Juan Soto's name. So contractually, sports radio host here in New York, we have to say Juan Soto every 25 minutes. I was just under the wire if they're listening. So, you know, we could always talk Juan Soto because we didn't get an opportunity yesterday to talk about the two at bats where he just stood there. Like, we've never seen him just stand there. Does that mean he wasn't trying?
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.